You have to create problems to create profit. There is no profit under the current paradigm in saving lives, putting balance on this planet, having justice and peace or anything else. There's just no profit there. There's an old saying, pass a law, create a business. Whether you're creating a business for a lawyer or whatever. So, you know, crime does create business, just like destruction creates business in Haiti. We have now roughly 2 million people incarcerated in this country, and of those, many of them are in prisons run by private corporations, Corrections Corporation of America, Wackenhut, who trade their stock on Wall Street based upon how many people are in jail. Now, that's sickness, but that is a reflection of what this economic paradigm calls for.
Got us into this whole financial mess in the first place.
That's different. Nobody knew those computer models in the city were being given faulty information. Everyone assumed the mortgages were worth their face value.
But they were worth nothing. Why didn't anybody know? Why didn't you know?
Everyone thought that everyone else understood what was going on, but nobody wanted to admit that they couldn't make sense of it.
But why couldn't they?
Because it didn't make sense. Everybody thought that all the others knew, and there were some who knew, but the ones who didn't know didn't believe the ones who did know knew.
Say that again.
Nobody wanted to rock the boat because everyone was making so much money.
Kaput.
Radio.
Kaput.
Radio. Happy. Boing.
Read is good. Read is right. Read works. And it's a greed that makes your parents refinance their house. They buy a plasma TV, cell phones, computers. And it's greed that makes the government in this country cut the interest rates to 1%.
You got 90% of the American public out there with little or no net worth.
The richest 1% of this country owns half our country's wealth.
Look, if you had one yacht and corporate immunity, jet skis, anything you ever wanted, a pure mogul, would you ration it or buy bigger ships? Dough.
Income is steady, fees peak, bonds are plenty, a harm and offshore credit, no levy, funds for spending so lavish, and yet a savage folk with crumbs and pennies pay lump sums, taxes leave bums indebted as you float round on boats now, gloat so proud, you're hoping for drought, cause it might float the pound, but brokers frown, economy's broken down, your stocks run out, dimes flop, no more mounds, cash strapped now financially, oh, no more fancy sprees, oh, they go mansion keys low, there's no amnesty, loads of transaction fees grow, funds substantially blown, your loss graph really slopes, the scope drastically low, zero balance, you're broke, you poor magnets, the woe, you limo back to your marble home castle, man, fetch father's type, Sergio, your rich families never objecting, employment afloat, some old stack,
you're gonna lose your wealth in this movement, you moguls, a load of witch cheddar, letter spreading dough, your money and car yard, your spot as the CEO, so superfluity clocks up quite a price tag, you're gonna lose your wealth in this movement.
I heard Joe Hockey wants to destroy my old age pension, which I supposedly supposed to get next year, and it looks like he's going to destroy it if he gets into government.
Why would he be doing a thing like that? How does that benefit? Where does he see a benefit in that?
I don't quite know what he's after there, but it sounds all a bit like he needs a... You know, he might need some kind of a holiday in the 18th century to understand how it is without a welfare system. Just a holiday, a few months in the 18th century for him.
Yeah, well, he probably has already looked into that because in that situation, they may not have that facility among the population, but they're the ones that are getting all the work, all the... help.
I mean, I truly believe that Joe Hockey has work in his life, an honest day's work, and I'm sure that he has a very, very strong impression and affirmation in himself developed that he will never, ever in his whole life will do something like that ever again, you know. I'm not sure of that.
Well, I mean, he doesn't want, but he knows that the people, the voter, wants to have what they have in the third world that you're talking about, which is work, you see.
Yeah.
But we don't get any of that. So if we can get again, if we can start competing on that level, we might get a little bit. Somebody might start outsourcing their manufacturing here.
Instead of an old age pensioner, get a sweatshop factory job or something like that.
I mean, that's it. Where do you get jobs like that? You got to go over to Asia.
Yeah. I think this is going to backfire for him.
Oh, well, you know, he's doing the best he can.
Mm. I don't think that the average citizen has been spoiled or that these kind of entitlements have some kind of character flaw. They're actually hard fought over for, God, decades, centuries have they been fought over and achieved by workers and by citizens of any state in the first world. So to dismantle it, doesn't that sort of tell us that all his kind of policies have failed, haven't achieved what he wanted originally to achieve? No beneficial things for everybody and harmony, society in harmony and no conflicts and everybody educated and healthy. No, he seems to fail on this, and now he wants to cut the welfare because he failed?
No, I don't think so. I think actually what he's trying to do is just that. He's trying to provide the voter doesn't seem to be interested in any of that. What they want is jobs.
But the
only way to get the jobs is doing what he's doing. You cut welfare.
Who in their right mind at 65 wants a job? He claims that people, I mean, even Julia Gillard claims it, but can't take those people seriously. What are these people? They can't even have enough money for these basic things, which are really not. I mean, they're not in dispute that you need education and health in a system, in a society, you know.
Well, for what
transport?
For what reason, if it takes your work away?
Yeah. Well, then maybe we shouldn't have a society.
Well,
can't afford it, shouldn't have it.
You'd have to ask him that, but I think that's
that's
his intention.
I make him an offer of my personal nuclear gun just in case, you know. If he stands all by himself there alone, last man standing sort of ritual, you know.
I'm sure, that Joe Hockey would get a lot of childish enjoyment out of playing.
It's amazing that such a fat, short body, which looks like a stack of tractor tires on top of each other, it's got actually such a small mouth to put out so big words, you know.
Well, there you are. You see, there's potential within. It's just not on the outside.
Yeah.
It's inside. It's just that it has a narrow passage.
He's got it all in front of him. He can contract cancer. He can contract leukemia. Or he can get breast cancer, as far as I'm concerned. I don't care.
No.
He wants to take my old age pension. I'm going to ban him into the 18th century.
Well, there you are, you see. You're not one of the usual voters that just says, and we're not going to put you in power unless you give us jobs.
Yeah, there's a sad thing. There's so many usual voters.
But is there something wrong with the voter is the next question to me.
Obviously. I mean, the question is obvious. Anyway, I found it remarkable from this young dude who has actually sworn never to work physically in his whole life ever again.
Yes.
To demand us to go to work at 65. What about you? Are you ready? Are you work ready? you know?
Yeah.
You even sent this old age carer of yours home now, yeah? Just go and send him home. You don't need him.
But he's not the bloke I'd... he's not the one I'd vote for.
Yeah, okay. I'll leave it at that. Well, maybe we should send Joe Hockey to North Korea for a while to study the matter more into detail and then come back with good suggestions.
Maybe it would, because he'd be a willing candidate for austerity measures.
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. There's another little notion coming this week to my mind. There's always this talk about social media. I don't quite understand it, but they are quite determining today's news and reactions to news and commentaries, and even politicians have babbled something, and an hour later, because of all the tweets, they have to retract part of their statements or altogether change it or modify it. And so I thought, what's social about this medium? I mean, it's one of the most aloof positions you can take in life, you know, being behind a computer. And 98% chances are that the other side is faking it and thinking that you are faking it as well. You know, so it's a game, 98% of it is faking, and yet it determines all the political discourse on the media.
Well, I think that's one of the phrases very often used by anything, either serious or frivolous. Mm. It's called players, you know, are you a player? And the game demands so-and-so. The game of what? The game of economics? What a game that is.
Why can't that be sort of, let's make a new website. I tell you the honest truth, you fucker.com. Yeah, we'll start that one. And then we don't need to, can save our 98% of traffic on that site can be completely abolished because that's all faking. And we just the remaining 2% will make the kernel and core of this website. Yeah. And then people will recognize that it pays off to be honest, you know.
I think, you know, I remember the sort of the bank, the bailing out and all that led to this thing that I remember a great phrase of the socialist workers, a beloved thing, was state capitalism. That was an important part of what they saw happening in the Soviet Union. They said it wasn't a communist state, it was state capitalism. And a couple of weeks ago, that was actually on the cover of The Economist to describe the state of the world's developed economy, state capitalism. And we have moved towards this thing that, you know, it's a monstrous hybrid. There's no way of describing it. You know, nobody's in favour of this system. And there's no sort of theoretical model for it to be all right. And it's not capitalism, and it's manifestly not anything resembling social democracy. It is actually this thing that's socialism for the rich. But socialism for the rich was supposed to be a joke. That's supposed to be, you know, an incredibly stinging, hilarious, laugh-aloud, funny idea that it's socialism for the rich. But it's actually the system. And I think that the sense that this, you know, as Jyoti says, this model has just conked out in its current form. You can't really defend it or prop it up. You just have to say, you know, it's not meant to be like this, and we have to start trying to figure out what the next thing is, and indeed if there is the potential for change with the rules as they're currently constituted.
Glenn Stevens, thank you for your time.
Well, waves of unalloyed pleasure course freely about my person, Brian, as well you know, at the very prospect of further discourse with you.
I am similarly gripped.
This augurs well, Brian.
It does. Mm. You've been criticised this week by Mr. Paul Howes.
Yes, Brian, I make no secret of the fact that I live a life crowded with incident. I wouldn't swap it with anyone.
Mr. Howes says that the Reserve Bank has the wrong interest rate policy and fears for jobs in industry.
Does he? Does he say why?
Well, he says the cost of Australian goods are too high.
Is the term cost of labour used at any point in his no doubt penetrating analysis of what the adults are thinking about in the other room?
He says he wonders if there will be a steel industry in the future, and if we don't have a steel industry, what happens to manufacturing?
Yeah, a bit rhetorical. We'll all be murdered in our beds. What he's talking about here, essentially, of course, is the exchange rate.
It's historically high.
It is very historically high, Brian, for one simple reason. The Australian economy is going very well. The Australian economy came through the GFC in very, very good order as a result, Brian, of the policies of the Australian government and the RBA.
True dat.
That is why the Australian exchange rate is high.
That's right.
It is therefore not a good argument to say as follows. The policies of the RBA have been successful. Therefore, the policies of the RBA have not been successful.
I don't believe that's Mr. Howe's argument.
It's nevertheless a very good point I'm making.
It's an excellent point.
And it's rather a beautiful point,
in my view. It's a superb point.
Thank you very much, Brian.
You're welcome. Mr. Howe's argument is that by failing to lower interest rates, you're sending jobs overseas.
Well, that's not an argument. That's finger-painting. Mr. Howe might know what he's talking about in other areas, but he makes quite a common error here in assuming that if you lower interest rates, Brian, you reduce upward pressure on the exchange rate. What very often happens if you lower interest rates is that people spend more, and ultimately you've got to put interest rates up.
So can you make any argument work as a justification what you've already done?
What a very flattering and kind person you are. That's a lovely thought, Brian. But actually my job is to use the levers and controls at our disposal to best benefit the Australian economy.
Yes, by what criteria?
Well, by the criteria we're given.
That is why Mr. Howes is saying the RBA charter needs to be reviewed.
Well, that'd be a matter for government.
So he should talk to the government?
Yeah, I mean, someone would need to make an appointment, obviously.
Mr. Howe's making an appointment.
No. The government, Brian, would need to make an appointment with Mr. Howe. He's a pretty important bloke.
Extremely important.
You're not going to get in easily. I don't know how they'd get in.
Not this year.
No, not this year. He's a very, very important man. They might be able to see his assistant.
Yeah, in a couple of years.
Yes, whoever he might be.
Thanks for your time.
He'd need one, though. He's a very busy bloke. Thank you, Brian. I'm disappointed we've had to come to such an early conclusion.
It was most illuminating.
Seemed to be going so well.
Well, you're back, Mr. Van Rompuy. Another 2.5 years, no doubt a reward for your great success. Indeed, listening to you, I thought perhaps I'd got it all wrong. You talked about how positive the last council meeting had been, that we've reached the turning point, that everything's going swimmingly, and I was beginning to believe it. And then I realised you didn't mention the D word, default. Now, that can't be talked about. We pretend there hasn't been a default, when we know, in fact, in Greece last week, there was a very major credit event. And indeed, listening to all of you this morning reminds me of the great British comedy classic, Carry On Up the Khyber, where the colonial English go on having dinner, ignoring the fact that disaster, impending disaster, is all around them. You are determined but delusional in this attempt to keep the euro propped up. And whilst you're enjoying your dinner, incoming shells are landing all around you. Youth unemployment in Greece went through 50% last week. That's fine, carry on, serve the main course. And you'll have seen yesterday that 110 German bondholders of Greek bonds are now going to take legal action against the banks and against the Greek government. But don't worry, chaps, carry on, everything is going to be fine. But perhaps the biggest bombshell is the German finance minister saying just yesterday nobody can exclude a third bailout. Pass the port. Do enjoy the party. I mean, it's a farcical situation. And why is it happening? That's what people in Europe want to know. Why is this happening? Is this being done to help Greece? No. It is going to crucify Greece. It is being done to prop up a failing project. Because you know that once Greece goes, others will go as well. And some of the language. Mr. Barroso, when leaders stand up and say that political moves are irreversible, history has one lesson. You are always, always going to be proved to be wrong.
No, it is.
I've got to move this along, of course.
You said to me a while ago that it's just adding digits, zeros, in this overall 350-year-old game of finance with assets, based on assets. All inflates?
What used to cost 1 cent? You had to put a zero on after a while so that the same thing cost you 10 cents. Mm. And then after a while, you had to put another zero on because what cost you 10 cents cost you $10 and so on. And you kept adding these zeros.
And that's why a million and a half or two or three as a bonus is actually pocket money.
It's not too much.
You hardly can scrape by on it.
I think I can manage, but some of them aren't that good at managing on $1 million. But of course, if you've got $1 million, and you'd have to be reasonably well off, wouldn't you?
But it's not staying that way, apparently, according to your historical experience.
Well, somebody's
next year,
it will be only
900,000 worth or something, or 800,000, depends on how bad it goes.
They're going to have to add another dollar, another zero, I should say.
So you need 10 million, at least, as a bonus in the future, to just scrape by.
That's how it'll be.
$10 million a day to survive. Yeah.
But at least they're actually spending it. They're either investing it or they've got a butler and a masseur and a minder.
The worst would be, the most inhumane thing and unethical thing would be to bury it or to hide it and lock it up. That would be really bad for everybody.
Well, I mean, you can't do that. It would be worthless after a while because they keep adding these zeros.
And it's missing in the marketplace, as you just said. There would be no butler to be employed.
Yeah.
There would be no yacht to be built for the buyer of the yacht. And it would be,
And there'd be more zeros.
No free hookah supplies.
If what used to be worth one with three zeros, you have to add another zero to it.
Well, that explains why an average Australian now needs to have $75 Australian to survive, per day to survive. It's actually not that much.
Yeah. If it was $7.50 originally.
Yeah. When it was making sense to survive on it. It doesn't make any more sense now. You know, a homeless person still needs $65 per day to survive. So the difference between a home owner or someone renting a space and paying gas bills and all that, energy and whatever your rates with the council and so forth, and not having all that attached is only $10 less. Yeah. It's not really much less.
Yeah,
so where are all the... I mean, the expenditure of a homeless person, they must have a very, very expensive, wasteful lifestyle, don't you think?
Well, it is wasteful in as much as, they're not earning anything.
Exactly, they're withholding it.
So, well, they're earning
unethically.
It as much as somebody's got to give it to them.
Yeah. So, then, what would you say then? I mean, will we be able to actually... finance in the future all these things we want to have financed?
NBN
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Is it a matter of just adding digits?
We'll just have to put another zero.
So that's all it needs?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then we are out of the problem, aren't we? Yeah. Except for that it just builds up further.
Nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
From the $7.50 to the $75 to the $750
for an ice cream.
Yeah, $750.
What, in 10 years' time or something, you have to pay...
You see all this.
Right.
Yeah,
not like expensive yogurt Qatar or Abu Dhabi.
I think a cup of coffee was 35 cents. And then it... what is it today?
$10?
Well, they've added a few zeros. It's the same thing, only they've added the zeros.
Mm. It's about 200% gone up.
Yeah.
So it's $9 on average in the city.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that it hasn't gone up in worth. It's only gone up as far as the zeros are concerned.
Okay,
so
well, that's
need
sort of,
more of them.
Nothing's
changed.
Yeah, it seems to entangle all the myth about the business programs I'm watching and seeing, and people are explaining and doing. Plus, I heard China's gone in recession, or is in recession, actually, someone said. Now, is that a bluster, or is this just sort of selling more on the behalf of fear-mongering about China?
No, I think it's a lot to do with definition and how you define recession.
Yeah.
And if you're this year, you haven't gone up any more than last year, well, then you're in recession because you've got to keep pace with the zeros.
Yeah.
And if you're not keeping pace with the zeros, well, they call that a recession.
Well, then you have to be very confident talking like Angela Merkel and Mr. Sarkozy and all these people actually saying how good they are, that their unemployment has gone down to 7.5% already in Germany's case now, for instance. And they're very proud that the economy is booming. I mean, it's not booming, it's not really, but they make it out to be.
No, I mean, you've got to, again, define what you're talking about. And
so a Merkel recession is something different than a Chinese recession.
Well, when you say, unemployment has gone up,
that's one indicator. Also, the volume of trade has gone up, of course.
But it really hasn't, because what you've done is you haven't lost workers at all. Only you've transported that work to another ethnicity.
Yeah. Now, they lowered their own unemployment rate by a marginal 0.8% or something in the quarter.
Well, so they haven't...
Well, does make them claim that they're out of recession, but I can't really see that unless they have reclaimed jobs from China or from India or from Brazil or South Africa or somewhere else.
In all those workers who are making your product for you in another place. You can't say you've lost workers. It's not true.
Actually, when they say they create jobs, they're honest. It's just not here.
They've created jobs. Unemployment is not increasing. Employment is actually increasing. There are more workers doing the job than there were before.
And they have a good prospect to look forward to an inflation rate of something like $75 a cup of coffee in a few years' time.
Well, I just add a few zeros, that's part of the game.
Yeah,
it'll still be three or four cents.
But they can at least buy one, where a lot of other people can't even buy a cup of coffee.
And then it used to be 35 cents, and now it's...
Well, then everybody could buy one.
Yes, but it's still the same. It's just the zeros.
Okay. So there you go, that's just the zeros.
Beleaguered. Benighted. Anything but benign. I don't know if it's my bad, your bad, they're bad, or just plain vanilla bad. I need more pronouns to blame. Partying hard with the homies isn't exactly a career objective. They be like from all walks and crawls of life forms. Barely living. Some too full of anxious vivacity. Nervy curvy. I drinks enough, OJ. I ain't gonna get scurvy.
To offer again welfare cuts, labor market flexibility, or, in clear speak, lower wages and worse working conditions? You want to deregulate everything? So-called minimalized government, except for the political elite, of course. Further privatization and outsourcing of labor to the lowest wage countries and so forth. Well, boys, this is just what you used to do and got us all into the global mess we are. And you want to repeat the exercise? And want all of us to pay for that? Go and spend some time in the 18th century, you hopeless nuts! The web details and other programs of the Kaput X Radio series can be found at radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Thanks for listening to the show. My name is Martin. And you can be sure the debate is not over yet.